If you have an ensemble like a quartet, or if you just want to do solo recitals, you should bring a few friends, or maybe a lot of friends, to your shows. Getting yourself on a concert series might mean showing that you'll do your part in bringing in a crowd. Because let's face it, the promoter is looking to make money on you, or at the very least, make an event that's successful. And a crowd equals success in his eyes and yours. Welcome back to Accelerando. My name is Paula Tuttle, and today we're talking about ways to build an audience. As a musician, I plead guilty to not supporting enough of my colleagues by paying for tickets. It's a spillover from college at the Eastman School of Music, where we never had to pay for concerts and there was an abundance of them. Almost any day of the week, you could see recitals, ensembles, masterclasses, and productions like opera were available yearly. Rock concerts in the Rochester Philharmonic performed in the Eastman Theater, so the ticketed shows were in the same building as your practice rooms. If you wanted to see a concert, you could literally set down your instrument, stroll down the hall, watch a performance, and afterward resume your practice until the building closed at 11 p.m. We were spoiled in that way, never needing to leave the building until it was time to sleep. It wasn't just like this at the Eastman School of Music. At CMU, we shared the building with a really famous drama and theater department. And at New England Conservatory, where I did my postmasters, we were always allotted free tickets to the Boston Symphony, which was just a short walk down Gainsborough Street, just away from our practice rooms. Indeed, we were given all the access we desired to watch performances while we were actively studying our art. So fast forward to professional life. I sometimes think of going to a concert as a busman's holiday. This is something I fight, and I see the same attitude in others in my field. Getting myself to go to concerts, really good concerts, it takes effort, even when they're free. I'm always glad I went, but scheduling myself is usually the problem, and I don't think I'm the only one. Maybe you feel this way too. So if getting yourself to a great concert is hard, how do you get people to come to your concert? You could spend some energy deciding what would make you go to a concert. But actually, the first step is to step away from yourself and people like you, meaning people who perform. What I'm saying is that you should separate people that perform from the kind of people you want to come to your audience. Because the harsh reality is that people that perform listen differently, and they might not want to come to concerts for a lot of reasons. The kind of people that you want to have come to your concert are non-performers. The typical audience member, the rank and file, the garden variety, whatever you want to call it. So your colleagues and other musicians aren't typical audience members either, so maybe start looking elsewhere for your audience. The very first step is deciding who your audience is and how you can reach them. Your list will probably be made up of a lot of non-musicians, people that appreciate the arts but aren't performers. So you start by making your list of audience members, and if they have friends, and this is key, they can spread the word. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. So you've got the who, now you've got to do the how. Once you have your list, you can keep them informed about your concerts. Maybe you have a website that you can organize performances and videos, and you can grow a body of work there. It helps when your people can see your consistent work. So we're talking about fans, people that are devoted audience members. You send them an email and they are thrilled. You know who I mean. People that have come right out and asked you, "Where are you performing next? I want to come." It could be your aunt, your neighbor, parents of students, acquaintances outside of the music business. You send them invitations, and here's the next step. You tell them to invite their friends. Permission marketing isn't just for other businesses. It's what people like us do, too. You've grown your business since you started getting serious about music. All the people that supported you then are now on your fan list. And the next steps of enlarging your base or what happens when you become a pro. So now it's time to add some new people to your list. We want to look for the kind of people that are hungry for concerts, eager to know what's going on, and in search of particular events. These are actually the best audience members you want to add to your list. The people that want the new thing. Put these people at the top. Don't ignore them. They could be the ones that bring all their friends. These kinds of audience members gravitate toward one another. They want to be first, they want to be in the know, and they don't want to miss anything. You know the type. In another situation, there are people that are always interested in the latest iPhone or gadget, the hippest running shoes, the in color. These people may not translate to the same audience you're looking for, but it's the same personality trait. You're just looking for someone interested in your craft. So time well spent would be to identify a few of these people you probably already know and craft an email and send it. Hey Richard, I'm doing a show at the museum next month with my string quartet, and I remembered you are a member there. Make sure you check out this ad on their website. I'd love to see you there. After you find these people, you want to find a way to get them to tell their friends, other listeners that want to know all about the best concerts. So you can have a newsletter or friend them with social media. But the way that works is to find a way for people to opt in. Ask them if they want information like email letters. You could have a place on your website that they can sign up. This way you're not spamming your best audience members. It's really important. You need to give these people special treatment. Once you've set up a way for people to receive emails about future concerts, you've set your marketing plan in motion, just like a pro marketer would do. If you're Andrea Bocelli, your audience will find you, true, but you're not hiding under a rock. There is a lot of marketing that goes into a giant like Bocelli, and his marketing is going to look different, maybe be on a different scale. But you're still doing what his promoter is doing, finding the people that want to be seen, the people that love your music, finding the audience that cares about being a part of your entourage, and the people that just want to be part of a public event like yours. There's lots of people like that at your concert. Try to meet them and sign them up. At your museum concert, you can put out a sign-up sheet next to your CDs. If people sign up, they have officially opted in, just like that. If you do decide to use Facebook, you could have a page specifically for your band or your concerts. There's a calendar, an events page, and a video page. Potential promoters will appreciate this page, but you have to keep putting in the content. In the long run, you might do better to have a website. You can customize it, and you can make it look the way you want, and you can send links to promoters and audience. There is something to be said about going to concerts and engaging with the audience and perhaps building a following. I actually don't know many people that can do this very well, but at the very least, you can go and start to see what paying customers look like. Just go to the symphony, look around, and see if you start recognizing people. Then start recognizing people in groups or types. Are these people that really love music? Or are these audience members that want to appear wealthy and cultured? Or is this a social outlet? Is this a bunch of people that need to tell their peers that they support the arts? Or is this a group of people looking for something else? Maybe think of concerts more like restaurants. People go to consume, but they are paying for something extra, to have an experience, to relieve the boredom, a distraction, try something new, be seen, see others, make their lives better or well-rounded. Be in the know. Have you tried the new restaurant? I've been there. How was it? Did you hear this concert? Did you go to the opera? What did you think? Was it fabulous? Will you go to the next one? People go to see people like themselves doing a thing. This is key. If you can identify who will come to your concert, you can start to find them, meet them, friend them, and eventually enroll them. So why shouldn't you rely on other musicians to get the word out or come to your quartet performance? Don't they also want to watch people like themselves doing what they do? It's the difference between performing and being an audience member. We are performers, and there are two kinds of people that make up a performance. The audience is the other half. They watch in a different way. They watch a performance, perhaps the way we watch a sports event. So if you're a musician, you probably know some arrangers and composers. The composer David Page, he's a rock musician who just released his first solo album this month, despite decades of being a producer, composer, and arranger. He said he can't listen to music without analyzing the bass line, the form, and transcribing the parts in his head. Does this sound like you? Maybe you don't find yourself writing the music down that you hear, but you do imagine fingering it or thinking how the phrase was developed. If you're a singer, you might imagine what it feels like in your voice or in your range. If you're a horn player, you feel yourself playing the horn parts. If you're a jazzer, you see the player's approach to a solo.
The most intriguing thing about the jazz today remains, though, when you hear somebody improvise on the spot, you're not only hearing their technique and their training, their intonation, all those things, but you can also hear what they know about music, which is very particular to jazz in some ways. You can hear what they know about harmony. They can display it. I can tell within 10 measures of listening to a musician, 10 or 12 measures, I can tell what their influences are, how much they have together, what level they're at, pretty quickly that way.
That was saxophonist Eric DeFade talking about teaching improvisation in episode 6. A lot of musicians will say the same thing, and I think David Page said it best, that music doesn't always wash over him the way it was intended. A lot of people are picky about the concerts they go to, but musicians, by and large, are more careful about the concerts they choose to be audience members at. So when you're trying to build your audience, you need to ask yourself this: who is the concert for? Here's a few ideas. A community, as if at a church, a school, or a museum, there is always a built-in community. I would tap into them by putting a poster up. The people that want to try new things, the people that want to be first. We commonly call these people neophytes. The people that go to Andrea Bocelli may not be neophytes. Or they might be neophytes, but Bocelli has the luxury of marketing to people that want to go to something already established, and you do not as a startup. You want to be looking for the musical equivalent of people that want to be the first to get the iPhone, the newest book, the newest TV show. It's a type, believe it or not. Finding these people is a challenge, but they are hooked up with others that like to try new things, and they like to talk about it. Back to the Bocelli audience. Let's talk about the last group, sometimes called the neophobics. People that only want to try a sure thing, like the Bocelli concert goers. Oh, I've heard of him, or I've heard of Hamilton. It's really great. These people will come if they hear about you from other community members that heard about you or actually heard you. So it's important to start breaking down your audience into these types so you can start to build. It's frustrating to play a concert to an audience of 20. If you are relying on the student body to show up at your concert and suddenly the winter temperatures jump to 65 degrees, hey, those students are going to bail. And hopefully you asked your aunt, the composer, and advertised on the local classical radio station so some neophytes will show up. And yes, I'm talking from experience. This exact thing happened. A warm day in early February and the concert programmed specifically for a group of Pitt students. They all stayed away, wooed by the warm weather. But the people that came heard the ad on WQED, and the musicians involved in the concert brought a dozen friends. That concert was videotaped on multiple cameras, and it was also our last concert before the pandemic, so it was a strange twist in a way. The program was reused, and ultimately over 1,000 people viewed it in its streamed incarnations. But let's all hope those days are behind us. I mean streaming and remote performing. Although it's useful in a way to reach the audience, we as performers know it doesn't feel as fulfilling as playing in front of a real crowd. Here's to finding your crowd, building your fan base, and having a tribe that spreads the word about your generous work. Thanks for listening. Remember to check out the show notes at accelerandocast.com. And I really hope you share this with your friends who might enjoy this podcast. See you next time.